In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. You may be seated. This life will surely pass us by, and with it, most of the people in it, but not Christ. Christ will never, ever pass you by. The parable of the Good Samaritan is Christ telling a story about himself and what is expected of those that follow him. The certain man that had fallen among thieves is symbolic of the first man, Adam, who by way of his fall into sin became subject to the torturing of demons, being stripped of all his goods and covered in wounds. And there he lay, naked. And the man in this morning's gospel, again, naked and half dead. Who could possibly save him? Who could save him from such peril? None other than God, and God alone could save him from such a state. God resolved to come to man's aid. And because the priests and the Levites of the old law could not possibly help him, he sent Jesus Christ, who, according to St. Gregory, made himself man's neighbor, clothing himself in our humanity, that he might heal and redeem it. In the face of the impotence of the priesthood of the old law, as represented by the priest and the Levite, the Good Samaritan, that is Jesus Christ, established a new law and comes to the rescue of man. The Good Samaritan, while a despised foreigner, represents Christ, as the Jews themselves state, in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 48, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan? But Christ came down to save even those that rebelled against him. He, being the doctor of our souls, wraps us in bandages, emblematic of our baptismal garment. He pours onto our wounds the ointment of his grace through the oils of chrismation and unction, and wine, which is the communion of his divine blood, the Holy Eucharist. And at that, Christ does not stop there. No, he set him on his own animal, as if bearing our sins with his own body, and takes him to an inn. The inn which represents the church, where care is received, where souls go to become well again. And I think it's safe for us to say that we all know what it's like to be that man laying wounded on the side of the road. We know grief. We know sorrow. We know pain, despair, hopelessness. We know frustration. We know struggle. We have experienced both physical and spiritual wounds, the cuts and bruises inflicted by our travels through life, the shattered dreams, and what have you, where we would give anything for a champion to come to our aid and rescue us. Where we would give anything to no longer feel that way, the way that we do in those moments. Where we voice unto God the prayer of this morning's introit, haste thee, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let my enemies be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. And again at the Alleluia, O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. And we know all too well these things. And others. And so does Christ. Christ hears our cries. He knows the wounds we carry and the suffering we have endured, which is precisely why he comes to our aid. Therefore, what God has done unto us, it is our duty to do the same, to exhibit the same measure of care and compassion for our neighbor. And to hearken back to the question the lawyer put to Christ at the beginning of this morning's gospel, who asks him, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Love your neighbor as yourself. Show mercy instead of neglect. But I want us all to take note of one thing in particular about this parable. It wasn't that the Good Samaritan extended charity unto the man, but that charity was immediate and absolute. It was readily available the very moment he came upon him, as he took in with his eyes the pain and anguish of the man in desperate need of aid. As a great expositor once noted, he did not say to him, "If you will walk to Jericho, then I will bind up your wounds, pouring in the oil and the wine. Or if you will journey with me as far as Jerusalem, I will then attend to your needs." Oh no, he came where he was. And finding that the man could do nothing whatever for his own assistance, the Good Samaritan began with him, then and there, upon the spot, putting no impossible conditions to him, proposing no stipulations which the man could not perform, but doing everything for the man, and doing it for him as he was and where he was. That is true love for thy neighbor. There is no time for second guessing when we see someone in need. Only doing. Putting our hands to the plow and getting to work. Indeed, doing the Lord's work in following his blessed footsteps of service. But some of you might say, "I will try." No. No, do not try. That is not what God commands you. That is not what God has shown you by way of this morning's passage. Trying is not needed. Doing is. Another may say, "I will think about it." And in so doing, neglect the moral of the gospel. For the Samaritan did not stop to ponder the helping man, but did so without hesitation and without any strings attached. Don't think about it. Do it. Do it, for Christ compels you. For Christ rewards the merciful with the gift of eternal life. If we are Christ's, let us then bend the knee with him over our suffering neighbor. Our Lord, says the venerable Saint Bede, affirms in the clearest way that there is only one love, and that it must not only be expressed in words, but shown forth by good deeds. It is this that leads us to eternal life. May we be of one mind and one heart with Christ, and go forth caring for one another with the same measure of love that Christ has shown unto all men. For the world is full of affliction, but Christ has overcome the whole world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.